Shalom and Calvary greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord. Let us thank the Lord today for giving us strength and for giving us a good night rest and for waking us up whole this morning. Amen. God bless you all. Let us continue the sharing that we had yesterday. On the subject, the sound doctrine. You know, for us Christian, sound doctrine is our lifeblood. Amen. Or should I say, sound doctrine is our skeleton. You know, we cannot go any farther in our service with God without doctrine, without teaching. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let us read. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Principles of the doctrine of Christ. See, in this passage of the scripture, Apostle Paul talked about six basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. We have repentance from dead works, faith towards God. We have the doctrine of baptisms, and fourth, laying of hands. Fifth, the resurrection of the dead, and sixth, the eternal judgment. Amen. Now, these are basic Christian teachings. These teachings is good for a new believer of Christ. A new believer of Christ must learn. Amen. And my brethren, these are just basic doctrines, the Bible said. Meaning, there are still many Christian teachings that we ought to understand. Amen. Paul said, let us now leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on unto perfection. This we will do if God permits. Amen. So see, there are doctrines on Christian life. Doctrines on Christian life are like a skeletal system or a skeleton, a framework that any building or person without a skeleton cannot stand. Yeah. In the same way, a Christian that is unlearned, a Christian that is unthought, cannot stand and continue walking. That is why I told you yesterday that if your reason of coming out to the Lord was because of the goodness, the gentleness of the brothers and sisters sharing to you the gospel, or any other human motive or human relationship, is the, if these are the reasons why we come out into this kind of worship we have now, then our faith is founded on sinking sand. Why? Because we must have seen the truth, brothers and sisters, and let the teaching of the truth be the reason why we are in this kind of worship. Amen. We must have received the true Christian doctrine. We must have personally heard God through the things brought to us by the teaching of God's word. Amen. And we must have seen the big difference between that man-made teachings, that man-made system, to the system of the word or the true teaching of the word. Amen. See? When an engineer designs a building, he or she designs it with a strong skeleton, with strong frameworks. We have the beams, which include the tie beams below and the upper beams above, attached to strong pillars. And this may the building, this make the house stands. Amen. Without these frameworks, brothers and sisters, the building maybe could stand in a short time, but when typhoons came, when mighty winds come, when earthquake hits, the building could collapse anytime. See? And for Christian life, doctrines are like skeletons. They could make a Christian. This doctrine are like skeletons. They could make Christians stand over time in trials of faith, in winds of doctrine. Amen. In other words, understanding doctrines of Christ makes us resilient Christian individuals. Amen. Resilient against every spear, every sword, every javelin an enemy could throw against us. Amen. Amen. Now, imagine a person without skeleton. Imagine a person without bones. Could he or she stand? No. Definitely no. Even to walk, he or she could not walk without bones. Definitely. And brothers and sisters, that is the situation of a Christian person that is unthought, that is unlearned. A Christian person who does not receive the revealed word. He or she could not walk in the true Christian walk, you know? Because the Christian walk, a Christian righteousness, and or true Christian holiness is never a product of our own human effort. Amen. True holiness, true righteousness is never a result of our own effort. These divine natures, that of being holy and righteous, are product of the revealed word in our life. Amen. After all, the Bible said we are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. So true righteousness, true holiness is made possible in us by the word of God, by the revealed word of God. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about perilous times. Let us read that portion of the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1 to 4. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and thankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, I want you to pay attention, brothers and sisters, to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Brothers and sisters, I am sure that this man Paul talks about are religious men, like the religious men of this present world. Why? Because the Bible said, having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying the power. Maybe we could question Paul with this. What power did this man deny? And in what way did this man deny this power? What power did this man deny? And in what way this man deny this power? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yes, they were religious men, but they denied the power. What power and how? Yeah. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16, let's read one Bible verse. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Amen. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes, be not righteous over much. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Amen. The power, brothers and sisters, that men in perilous times denied is the power of the word. The power of the abiding word of God. Yes, that's the power that people in perilous times denied. In what way? Brothers and sisters, in being self-righteous. Amen. Ecclesiastes said, be not righteous overmuch. What does it mean? It means self-righteousness. Because in being self-righteous, that self-righteousness could bring a person into being boasters, into being proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, false accusers. Because, brothers and sisters, when this man opened their mouth in gossip other people's lives, it will be giving these people an opportunity to boast about their own self. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? Amen. So, the power that this men in perilous times denied is the power of God's word. The power to make us born again is the power of the abiding word of God. Amen. Just lately, Brother Andrew Fury posted a Facebook post on self-righteousness, if I was not mistaken. Let me read it for you for a while. Yeah, it's here. Our brother said, as I journey on in faith, I cannot help but notice that deeper repentance God calls me to is not merely from obvious evil, but from my own righteousness. That's it. I like this passage. Amen. Now, I'm going to continue. I am learning that it is often easier for God to work with a broken and contrite sinner than with someone who is confident in his own self-righteousness. The more I walk with the Lord, the more I see that my greatest hindrance is not my weakness, but the illusion of my own strength, my strength, not my failures, but the pride that hides them, not my sinfulness, but the relief that I can stand before God on my own merit. Amen. Yes, this is true. The hardest thing a man could handle before God in serving Him is his or her own righteousness, which could anytime easily be hidden in being religious, in being feeling godly, brothers and sisters. So having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Do not be overly righteous in your own self-righteousness, because you will destroy yourself. You will throw yourself away from the true righteousness, from the true holiness that we can only obtain. We can only obtain through the abiding word of God, through the incorruptible seed. Amen. That is why the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he is, and his what? And his righteousness. See? Why are we going to seek for God's righteousness? Simple. Because our righteousness, our own righteousness, is not the righteousness of God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because our righteousness is never the righteousness of God. So, let us not deny the power of the word by relying on our own righteousness. Our righteousness, the true righteousness, emanates from the abiding word. It is a product of the word having work in us. This emanates, brothers and sisters, our righteousness, our true holiness emanates from the doctrine we have in Christ, we have received from Christ. Amen. Even between truth and love, I tell you, I believe and personally believe that true divine love emanates from the truth. I believe that we can never have a true divine love without knowing the truth, because truth produces love and not love produces truth. Yes, brothers and sisters, we must come into the knowledge of the truth before we expect love to be the fruit. Amen. Plant in the seed truth first and abide in it to expect the fruit, which is the divine love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I won't hold you long today. Well, we'll still be talking about doctrines tomorrow. This is enough for now. At least we have something to ponder on over the day. Have a great day, everyone. Shalom.